Korea may be the story. I mean, we just need to accept and kind of accommodate the concept, if you should use that word, of a person, living person like you and me, soul like you and me, who is the source of all of us and is all of us at the same time as being individual, and we are individuals who knows everything, is completely fully aware of what I'm saying now, and is even the one making me being able to say it, making my mouth work, my mind work, and so on. And it can be here with me now and is so fully. Listening to what I say, reciprocating. And with you too and everyone else at the same time. And have several, you know, countless different forms and appearances for different purposes and pastimes. And to me, when I grew up and this idea of God as all-powerful, all-knowing one up there in heaven, well, sitting on a throne with a long beard or something. I mean, whatever idea we were given of God was, and maybe still is, I would say quite remote and generalized and a bit impersonal, more like a position. Someone hidden away up there, away there, so far that he can't hardly even show himself to us. Or if so, then we would burn up or something, you know. A very remote and impersonal in this sense, understanding that not much about the personal qualities. Who is this person? How is this person? And, well, I mean, there's a God here. I guess it's someone that you should know, want to know. And that's what we find in the Indian Bhakti tradition, and I would say we find it in several older original traditions. It's a personal relationship there. And we have these teachings there about rasas, and which you also find, you know, in the theater, art, relationships, and that's what it's all about. Otherwise it would be very boring to be God, right? But in the ultimate sense, everything, even this shadow world as it seems now to many of us, while the shadows are mainly in our minds, is part of it too. The adventure here, even the killing of demons Krishna enjoys. I mean, these stories there, they are illustrating explaining something very elevated, sophisticated understanding of God and our relationship to God or relationships. Of which our relationships to each other are part. Because we're all part of God, the whole. So it's an amazing, extremely refined and advanced, I would say, understanding God. And then someone may say, yeah, but it's just someone who sat there and came up with this, constructed this God that, in a way that made sense to them. Well, in that case, it did a good job, but it could also be, and this, I would even say, would be the natural case but they simply describe their own relationships with God, what they have experienced, what they are experiencing. It's not some theoretical philosophy that some came up with, but it's the gathered experience of so many devotees of God, so many that we call holy persons, saints and so on. I mean, people who just gave their lives to God and then God took care of them and started using them to write books and this and that. It's just how it works, naturally. So, with this personalism, understanding of God, meaning there's a relationship between us and God, just as there's a relationship between us here, then communication there is not only possible, but of course, the most natural thing there is. And yes, there are plenty of such chronicles and descriptions of testimonies of people, especially then such saintly persons, as we call them, having these so-called mystical experiences. Shamans and the Noids and the, you know, the old mystics. It was part of what they did was sometimes leaving this world, going to higher realms, meeting those there, having darshans with God, and coming back and explaining, giving accounts of their experiences. And as strange as that may sound to modern materialistic people who have kind of been steeped into that materialistic worldview, it makes perfect sense once you are able to let go of that and take up this personalist, consciousness-based, life-based worldview.